This election season, possibly the most talked about ballot item in California after the presidential race was Proposition 30.
California stands to gain $6.8 billion per year if Prop 30 passes.
If you talk to educators, they say it is the most important measure on this year's ballot.
Others say this is just another attempt to raise taxes.
Governor Brown taking a victory lap tonight after his controversial tax increase. Proposition 30 is approved by California voters.
So now what? Where does this money go and how will education truly be affected by it? Joining us to discuss that is John Fensterwald, editor of EdSource, an online K-12 and community college news site. You wrote that on November 7th, when Democrats woke up, it was like they'd wished for a pony on their birthday and instead found a horse with a giant bow around its neck. And you were referring, obviously, to the passing of Prop 30 and kind of waking up to this new reality of new Democratic supermajorities in both the state assembly and the Senate. What do those things equal for education in the state? What do those two things mean for education?
Well, immediately, it won't have any effect this year in terms of additional money for programs. It will stave off the cuts which would have occurred if Proposition 30 had failed. But for this year, it won't provide any money that schools will see in spending, and that's important to understand because the governor has decided to pay off some late payments to schools. Schools are getting paid about $10 billion late, about a year late, and so that's creating real cash problems for schools. So the governor has decided to begin using the first $2 billion from Prop 30 to start paying off these late payments. And so in order to do that, there won't be any additional money this year, but in 2013-14, having paid off the $2 billion, there will be that potentially available for schools, and that's a significant amount of money.
So that is the timeline, then, that we should start expecting more money in the 2013-14 academic year, fiscal year?
Let me put an asterisk, in the fiscal year that starts in July 1st. Let me put an asterisk on that because I think one of the big discussions that the legislature will have in the coming year will be whether to continue paying off some of that late money, the deferrals, or whether to send this money back to the long-suffering districts to restore programs and rehire teachers. There will be some additional money from a recovering economy, so there may be a way to strike a balance and do both, which I think is what the governor wants.
So for this immediate coming year, people just pretty much have to be patient.
Yes, that's right. There were some districts that budgeted on the assumption that Proposition 30 would fail, and they were doing it very conservatively. And so those districts can cautiously, having saved money, they can start to restore some programs. Los Angeles Unified, for example, the board decided this week to reinstate a 180-day academic year, to reinstate the five days that they had cut. So districts will, each district will react in its own way. Some districts will say, we're going to keep that money that we saved and look ahead to next year and then restore things gradually. Mm. Other districts budgeted with the assumption that Proposition 30 would pass, and they're very lucky, and it did.
Now let's go to the other part of that birthday present, as you mentioned in your article, the new supermajorities in the state assembly and the Senate. What does that mean for state education funding?
Yeah, I think right away it won't mean much in terms of, say, new taxes. I think the governor's made it very clear in the president pro tem of the Senate and assembly speaker. But now that it has a two-thirds majority, they can, in fact, pass revenue, maybe redefine what a fee is, you know, sneak some additional revenue in that way without worrying about the Republican minority. They can also override the governor on some issues, though that's not expected. And they may do something, for example, one of the things we could expect would be to put on the ballot for voters to decide whether or not to lower a parcel tax from requiring a two-thirds majority to a 55% majority And Democrats have been wanting to do that for years, but they never could find enough Republicans, couldn't find a Republican to support that. So now that they have a two-thirds majority, I think you're going to find that that's probably one of the first things that they'll do.
So then, does this all mean, like, really, really, that the days of teacher layoffs and class cutting and tuition hikes are kind of behind us?
That should be the case. And again, let me state that this year could remain very difficult for some districts. And I wouldn't be surprised, even though with the passage of Prop 30, that some districts may go insolvent. Not many, but not certainly as many as if it would have happened if it had failed. But districts are still trying to recover from years about 10% less in real dollar cuts over the past 5 years. And some districts that are still in trouble may have difficulty over the next year or so. But I think really looking ahead 4 or 5 years, assuming the economy continues to recover and there's not a major crisis in Washington January 1st over sequestration, they call it, you know, the fiscal cliff, things should be stable and things should look ahead. The governor is projecting that as much as $2,500 per student in increase over the next 4 or 5 years. That's substantial. And we've heard those promises before, only to be upset by economic recession and other things, or the legislature could steal some of that money and put it into other purposes. But at least that's the way it looks today.